Hello everyone, this is Musa again with more football, and as always I try to bring a lot more interesting people to this podcast, not only from our world in St. Louis but across the country. And today maybe not many people expected, but there's someone from Kansas City with a few ties to Sporting KC as well, so it's always a fun conversation, and that we've met online. So hope you're ready for some very interesting discussions. And I believe we have a lot more connections than differences. So I hope everyone enjoys it. And in today's podcast, we have Marcus Kelser, a sporting director with KC Athletics. But he has a lot more going on in his life than just this role. So how you doing, Marcus?
I'm well excited about the conversation. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And I think the first thing that was quite interesting, and I don't even know how that started, but how did we make that connection on Twitter of all places? Go ahead.
I think it was through maybe some club stuff or something that was retweeted. And then obviously, like you said, I've got a lot of ties to St. Louis, and I saw what you were doing online and obviously your support of city and all that. And I thought it was unique. And yes, somewhere along the way we connected direct message, and we've been, you know, touching base periodically for probably a year now or so, I think. So
yes. And I think that's one of those interesting that, especially with Twitter, I've made a lot more interest, a lot of people on Twitter, which, you know, usually it's like the Wild Wild West there. My experience have been almost very different because I've met you and other coaches and players, and that community has kind of grown just talking soccer. So could you tell me a little bit more of, you know, about yourself, what you currently do? We do know that you're from St. Louis MOBAP, and you play and went to school at MOBAP, or did you just go to school? Did you play for the team as well?
I did it. I played between, I guess it was 2000 and 2000. At the time, the head coach was Juan Pablo Favero. Wampa was an Argentinian guy, and he was at MOBAP for a long time with Jared Imbick. He's now the head coach of Akron, and Wampa was at Oakland University, but now he's gotten out of coaching. He does some stuff with mental performance. So yeah, I was fortunate to play with some really excellent players and for two pretty outstanding coaches. And yeah, I enjoyed my time at MOBAP very much.
Awesome. And I think, and one of those interesting questions from St. Louis, as always, is which high school did you go to?
That is a very St. Louis question. Yes. Yeah. I went to Francis Howell. Yeah. So I had an interesting, you know, pathway to St. Louis. My family's always been from St. Louis, you know, but when we, my dad was in the Air Force, so we traveled quite a bit. And I was in Germany before moving back to St. Louis full time. And when I got to St. Louis, I only spent a year in middle school, and then I was off to high school at Francis Howell. So yeah, I enjoyed my time at Francis Howell too. It was that time we had a solid program and, you know, lifelong friends there. So that was, I grew up in St. Charles County, basically. Yeah.
Traveled to Germany. So how was that experience? Did you happen to go to school there? Is that how you kind of started with soccer?
Yeah, no, I started soccer. I was in Colorado, Denver, the Denver area for a long time, and, you know, kind of started there. And I was, again, fortunate to play on a really good organization and had a good upbringing. My parents were very supportive of my soccer. I mean, it was something that I had a passion for very early on. You know, and then, you know, as most kind of Air Force families do, they up and relocate pretty abruptly. And, you know, all of a sudden I found myself in Germany, but it was a great experience. I mean, culturally, it was incredible. I'm still a huge fan of Germany as a country. And I enjoy going back from time to time. And, you know, it was great. I mean, I played for a local club, a club called Kaiserslautern. It's a they used to be in the Bundesliga. I don't know if they are anymore, but played for some of their youth stuff, played it in a local town. You know, there's a lot of town type clubs, small clubs with, you know, a little town called Dinweiler. And obviously my dad retired and we moved back to where his home was. And, you know, St. Louis is my home. There's some things I miss about St. Louis. There's some things that I don't necessarily miss about St. Louis, but I do enjoy my time back. I was in St. Louis this past weekend, so it's always nice to get back and, you know, have some Emo's pizza and, you know, get to see the local friends and whatnot. So it's, yeah, it's good times. I enjoy St. Louis.
So we have Germany, we have Denver, we have St. Louis and Kansas City. Any other place that you've been to?
Well, yeah, I mean, in my soccer upbringing, no. I mean, once I landed in St. Louis, you know, I played club soccer throughout my entire time there. And then obviously I had a strong desire to go to St. Louis University at the time. Bob Warming was the head coach. And it's funny how things work full circle. Bob is a close friend of mine now, and he's a great guy. And it's not, again, consider a friend, but I wanted to play for Bob when I was younger. And, you know, and things didn't quite work out, and ended up going to Flow Valley Community College. And I played for Dan King, call him Dipper, you know, and it's had a good experience there. And then quickly, you know, found myself at MoBAP. And, you know, from there, my wife played soccer at MoBAP as well, was a good player. And that's kind of what got us back to Kansas City, quite frankly, before I went to Omaha and did the soccer thing in Dallas and whatnot. So I've been all over the place with soccer, been fortunate in that regard.
I mean, I think it's a good thing. That's what soccer is all about. You know, almost anywhere you can go in the world, pretty much that you can find a way to play soccer. Even with the language barrier, you certainly don't really need it, because, you know, it's just kick the ball and pass it to each other. So definitely nice. And it looks like soccer pretty much runs deep in St. Louis. It looks like anyone that says we kind of, you know, from St. Louis, they sort of have, you know, soccer knowledge. And it looks like for you too, and your wife, so soccer runs deep in the family. So after college, was there any hope of you to go and play some sort of professional, or you just went to the coaching aspect from there?
Yeah, at the time, I mean, it was interesting. You know, I graduated with a marketing degree, and, you know, I did not really know what I wanted to do, you know, exiting college, which is probably similar to most people getting out of college, especially back when I was in college. And so I exited the space, and it was, I quickly got into coaching. I quickly got into coaching in Kansas City. My father-in-law kind of ran a small club here in Kansas City, and, you know, he asked me to kind of come in. So on the weekends I would drive in, and, you know, once a week I'd go and do some training and, you know, drive, make the drive on 70 to Kansas City, and, you know, kind of fell in love with it. You know, so we quickly decided to move to, you know, and it was a tough decision. I love St. Louis. I mean, I enjoyed there. My whole family's from, a fan of St. Louis soccer, and the, you know, again, the rich history of St. Louis soccer. I mean, it's, you know, when you think about it, you know, nationally, I mean, I think St. Louis is always, you know, had a prominent place. I think as of recent, you know, you've seen the club side of things in St. Louis improve, and the leaders there have done a tremendous job of getting St. Louis back on the map and winning national championships, which I'm proud of. I mean, being from St. Louis, but yeah, we came to Kansas City, and at the time, you know, I was going to, didn't really know if I was going to be coaching or if I was going to be jumping into the business world. And I jumped into the business world and quickly found out I wanted to be back on the soccer field. And I was lucky that my wife supported me in doing that. And that's what kind of launched my coaching career.
Nice. Yeah. And since I lived in Kansas City for a time, and I also went to North Kansas City High School. So I did play soccer there. And one of those fun things was that our entire school, I think it was all international, and maybe we had two American kids in our team. So it certainly showed that Kansas City does have the rich history of soccer, maybe not born players, but they certainly have that international feel, and which kind of helped, you know, bring up some of those, that skillful level around Kansas City itself.
Yeah. I think Kansas City is quite diverse in the soccer community. As with St. Louis, I mean, at MoBAP when I played, and I want to say there was 11 different nationalities within our team at MoBAP at the time of me playing. We had guys from different countries in Africa. We had a lot of guys from the islands, Trinidad and whatnot, Antigua. Dino Merrick, who is the head coach on the women's side at MoBAP still, Dino was our captain, and he's from Antigua. And you know, we had Peruvians and Argentinians and Brazilians, and it was very diverse, but a really good team. And, you know, Kansas City soccer was similar. I mean, a lot of diversity here. And yeah, it's soccer in Kansas City. It's good. I mean, it's a good landscape. You know, I think the youth side of things is strong. You know, we're not quite as big of a market as St. Louis, but we certainly have got, you know, quite a bit of talent here. So
it takes time. You know, if some of them stuff from way back in beating England in the World Cup, so it takes a little time to keep up to that sort of history for other cities. So I guess going back a little bit forward towards the future, so now that you are currently at the KC Athletics, so before that, were you working in any other teams that kind of help you transition to a director role, and it looks like you also coach a girls team on the CNL side.
Yeah, so I mean, my coaching journey has been an interesting one. I coached here locally in Kansas City, right, a small club. I coached high school soccer as well, and you know, was enjoying it. I wanted to get into the college game, and I was in a position where, you know, there was a couple job openings at the college level in Nebraska, and I thought I was gonna, you know, find myself, you know, exiting the club space and entering the college space. And, you know, some things didn't work out. And at the time there was a gentleman that was in Omaha, Nebraska, that knew about me and what I was doing with my teams and had seen some things from afar. And he said, "Hey, would you have an interest in coming in kind of, you know, working, you know, in a leadership position at the organization?" You know, at that time we didn't have kids. So my wife and I packed up, we went to Omaha, and I was there for 14 years, never thought I'd be ever in Omaha. And I was there for 14 years and was very fortunate to coach some very, very high level teams on the youth side. I started Elite Girls Academy from scratch, and was incredibly blessed to have an excellent staff around me. And we built Elite Girls Academy into what was undoubtedly the best club in Nebraska. And we were competing against all the top clubs in the region. And we had some teams that were very competitive nationally, and that was prior to the ECNL. So, I mean, we were competing for national championships in a very small market before the league, the ECNL, what it is today, was even established. And so, was there, yeah, for 14 years, and, you know, had two kids there, or three kids, Kennedy, my youngest, Noah, my middle, and Elijah, my oldest. And, you know, really enjoyed my time in Omaha. And I feel like we were provided a invitation to join the CNL in 2014. We were also provided at the same time a opportunity to join the girls DA in its inaugural year. We felt the CNL was the right choice, which was a good decision based upon the fact that the girls DA kind of collapsed. And so, you know, started the ECNL program. And, you know, long story short, about the time that COVID was hitting, right around that time, you know, we really felt strongly that we needed to provide something better for our oldest son, Elijah, who was playing up several age groups in Omaha, and, you know, just felt like we needed to do something. And at that same time, I was in strategic talks with another club in Omaha, Nebraska, to possibly consolidate the two organizations to provide a better space for development in Nebraska. Like, I felt like we took Elite Girls Academy to its pinnacle. We couldn't go any further. We needed to have a larger rec base. We needed more facilities. We just needed to do a bit more. And while we established ourselves as certainly the top choice for the elite player, we didn't have the impact that we thought we could across all age groups. And so, you know, kind of helped facilitate a merger between Gretna Soccer Club and Elite Girls Academy, which now is Gretna Elite Academy. It's GEA. It's kind of the premier ECNL club in Nebraska. By the time that COVID was done, my son Elijah had an opportunity to trial with FC Dallas, and then was invited to go to the eScore Cup, which is a pretty high level under 11 event that's hosted in Madrid in Spain. And so we, during that time, we were kind of going back and forth from Dallas, and Elijah was training with their pre MLS Academy. And yeah, he went to Madrid and had a great time. My wife took him. And when we got back, he was offered a full-time position with the Academy. And that's really what took us to Dallas, you know, was providing that opportunity for Elijah. And, you know, we prayed about it a bunch and just decided, you know, this is what we're going to do. And we got to put our family first. And so, yeah, took a big leap and packed it up and went to Dallas. And then there's a story that goes along with that too, but that's kind of what got us to Dallas originally.
Yeah. And I think that was probably also some of our connections that I'm seeing that, I think maybe that was in your trip to England and saw some of those pictures, with FC Dallas. Yeah. Competing against those other academies. So I think that was one of those interesting things where, you know, that's one of those experiences that not many gets to see, especially playing against some of those historical EPA teams. So what would you say is like that experience was like, you know, with, you know, you as a father going with your son into pretty much England and seeing those pretty much the best of the best. And was that something that kind of, was it a bad experience for you or Elijah on that experience? Because it's one of those rare things, especially at such a young age.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, my wife went to Spain with him the first year, and they played Real Madrid and several other top academies from around around Europe. And then 2 years later, well, really 18 months later, so FC Dallas took the boys to an event that was hosted at Leeds United. And so we went to We went to London, and this trip was my trip because, you know, I got a, you know, I let, you know, my wife went to the first one. And so, around that time, we already knew that we were going to be Kansas City. My wife, had some stuff that she needed to do with her family. And so it was a little bit of a departing trip, which made it unique, but, it was incredible. I mean, listen, I mean, the quality of the competition. I mean, they arrived in England, my son and I, my younger son, Noah and I arrived a day early because we're huge Man United fans. So we stayed at Hotel Football across from Old Trafford and did the whole tour. And that was incredible.
Well, that against you.
Yeah. And so it was incredible. And then, you know, I think the FC Dallas boys got there. There was only two clubs that were MLS clubs that were part of the event. That was Red Bull and FC Dallas. And I mean, they played Liverpool twice at AXS, which was just different level. And then the event itself was for Leeds United at the first facilities, which was incredible too. You know, they played Chelsea, they played Real Betis, they played Leicester City, they played Leeds United. They played, who else did they play? They played Newcastle, Brighton, you know, and this was all in a span of like 7 days. So yeah, it was phenomenal. And that team was a good team. I mean, they drew to Chelsea's under-12s who I believe were the under-12 champions from the year previous. Actually, Thiago Silva's son was playing on the team. So that was kind of cool for the boys. It was a great experience. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, listen, I think my son knows he's fortunate to have these opportunities, and as dad, I'm very, very proud of him because he's worked tirelessly to chase and his goals. And, you know, I'm proud of my younger son too, who has the same ambitions, and he's gotten to see his big brother do a lot of cool things. So it was, yeah, it was an incredible experience for sure.
Awesome. Yes. And that's one of those things. Since I was fortunate to be able to see those stadiums, because I guess France was so close. So it's almost, you know, I was driving to Kansas City to visit them. So it's always tell others, especially that strive to maybe a higher level soccer, even if they're not going with their own team, sometimes it's just the experience to going to Old Trafford Stadium or Etihad Stadium, just that could spark, you know, that little extra motivation for years to come. So that's why I always wanted to highlight, you know, that experience that you had as a dad with your sons in there, because it's one of those that even if they decide not to go as far as they want, that experience is priceless.
For sure. No, it was incredible. I mean, again, to watch, and I've got some really neat photos that I was looking at. They're in my son's bedroom, like on, you know, the walls and stuff.
Of course.
And when looking at it, I mean, again, to see your son there, you know, at the AXS facility on the same field that Mo Salah and, you know, these great players are training on, you know, and to be sidelines watching your son compete against Liverpool's and of the world. I mean, it was special, you know. And again, I think, you know, he's found himself in a great situation now, but our time in Dallas was incredible. I mean, I tell people all the time, I mean, listen, Dallas is a very, very special place for development. If you can deal with how competitive the market is, you can deal with the pressure of having so much talent and so few spaces as it relates to making an FC Dallas Academy roster. I mean, it's priceless. I mean, you can get in it, and if you can stay in it and keep your confidence levels high and know that there's going to be some adversity and some setbacks from time to time, and there's certainly going to be competition every day. But I think for young people, if you can get in that market and get your feet in it, and dig deep, you can become one heck of a player, man.
And I think I was told between Philadelphia and Dallas are pretty much like the top two academies that are producing quite a few players all over the country. So that was quite interesting knowing that, you know, so much far from each other. So
yeah, I mean, obviously, when you look at Philly, I mean, I think that they've got a good homegrown situation. FC Dallas is obviously they're known for their homegrown signings. I mean, I think that they do a good job. If you look at guys like Jesus Ferreira, you know, Winston, McKinney, you know, you look at Paxton Pomykil, I'm a big fan of Paxton Pomykil's. I mean, I think he's not just a good player, but he's a great guy, like gets in there. I mean, he sent my son a message before he relocated to Kansas City, wishing him luck and telling him to chase his dreams and stuff. Just they just do a nice, job there with of the first team guys with the academy kids. And so I give them a lot of credit there. I mean, it's not unusual to see Jesus Ferreira watching an academy game, which for the boys, I mean, that's pretty awesome, right?
Yes. Yeah. The pressure, but yes, yes. Yeah. Awesome. So yes, and I think just to circle back, knowing that high school soccer in St. Louis, I think maybe in Kansas also started, and I do see that some of your activities also are going towards the University of Pittsburgh, and I believe Wichita. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's in Kansas, yeah. It's right on the Kansas border.
Yes. Yep. I think I went maybe there once or twice, but that was a long time ago. But I'm not really good with cities after that. So could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, how that came about? And I do see that, you know, that program starting to bring in, you know, a team to compete. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, that program and how you're working on it as consultant and from there? It's quite interesting to see a university starting from scratch and already having such success.
Yeah. I mean, so when I was in Dallas, I was the STEAM Dallas UCNL director. And then when I relocated here to Kansas City, I knew I've got a friend of mine who's the president of Pitt State University. And he was the former, he was at the University of Nebraska Omaha before that. His son, Ollie, and Elijah are best friends. And he's got a younger son, Sam, who's Noah's best friend. So our families are very close. And Dan is huge fan of soccer, and his son Ollie plays at Shattuck St. Mary. And he basically said, Marcus, you know, we're going to start a college program, and would you like to be involved? And I said, well, as much as I can be involved, it depends on kind of what you're looking for. And they said, you know, let's have a meeting with the AD. And I drove down there, and I was blown away by the facilities. I mean, Pitt State, for those that don't know anything about it, it's one of the big established programs in NCAA Division II. It's very well known for their football, for their track and field. They were national champions. Some great facilities, great people, great community. I was blown away by it all. So it was a no-brainer for me. They just said, Marcus, we want to your point, we want you to try to kind of help us build this thing from the ground up. And so, you know, my responsibilities was really just consulting them on things that were soccer related as it relates to stadium facilities, equipment, you know, give them some ideas about, you know, the market that they are in and the target markets they should be focused on for recruiting. Was to be to assist them in finding a head coach, which we are very fortunate. Wes Brandstetter, who's a very dear friend of mine, he was the associate coach at Oral Roberts, you know, helped assist them in bringing in Kat Nichols, who's the full-time assistant. Kat is from Birmingham. I've been close with Kat and her fiance for a very long time. And so, yeah, I mean, that was the makeup of it. And Wes has done a great job. Wes and Kat have built that roster, and they continue to add quality. The academic and the athletic side of things has been spot on. I mean, you'd really supported Wes in that regard. And, you know, they're going to have a team in the fall of 2024, and they're going to compete in the MIAA, which is a great Division II conference. And, you know, I think they've got a shot to surprise people. I mean, I think they're going to be a lot better than what people think they are, you know, as a first-year program. So really excited to watch them and to see what they're able to accomplish. And, you know, obviously I feel very fortunate to play a small part in kind of the makeup of that team. So,
yeah, and I was quite interested because I'm knowing especially how the girls' soccer aspect is a very competitive ecosystem. So knowing that, you know, some schools are still looking to, you know, start a program from scratch, that pretty much puts them, you know, years or decades plus challenge. That makes it quite interesting. So what would you say, I guess, is like one of those differences between girls and boys when they coach? Because I've coached my daughter for a while, and I always tell them that they're tougher than boys playing soccer. And if I was at that age, I probably will stay away from them because they're a lot more tougher that way.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I always tell people that I've specialized in girls coaching because I'd rather deal with the emotions of a female, the ego of a male, you know, and I think it's a funny way to describe it. But I mean, listen, I think big cultural person, I'm a big believer in building creating a space where, you know, there's a lot of leadership involved and there's a lot of buy-in to what you're trying to accomplish, not just individually team by team, but collectively as a program. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's what's kind of led me. I've never coached boys. You know, I did one little stint of working with our JV boys program at MOBAP right when I was done. But outside of that, I've always coached females for my entire 20-year career. And right now I serve as, to your point, the director, UCNL director at KC Athletics. I coach our three oldest age groups. And yeah, I enjoy it a lot. And, you know, when it comes to boys soccer, I'm just a fan, just watching my kids play. You know, and Elijah now is at Sporting Kansas City and their academy, and has found himself a really great, with a great coach, and they've done a nice job there, and Elijah's thriving, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, the, you know, just Sporting and the setup they have there. So I've been very happy with that as well.
Yes, and I think that's one of those things where I even coached my girls, kindergarten all the way to actually eighth grade, them go high school, and I think my son, I did maybe three years, and then after that, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll go back to by the two youngest girls. So I definitely kind of relate some of those. So when it comes to coaches, because we have a few young coaches that I know on my side that have inspirations to actually become coaches. So what would you say is maybe two or three things that, you know, you would give them as an advice on, you know, how to be a coach or even a better coach? Because, you know, knowing that us growing up playing sports, we've had to deal with different kind of coaches. So we tend to gravitate to a certain kind of, but how would you say it's, that you are as a coach and that your three of your principles, we'll call them?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would recommend to anybody wants to get into coaching is to find a mentor. You know, I mean, I think that find someone that has been doing it a long time, that has done it at a high level and does it in a stylistic way that you appreciate. You know, I mean, whatever your principles are, try to find a mentor that is aligned with those same principles and has done it over a sustained period of time at a high level. I was very fortunate. My mentor as a young coach was John Walker, who was the head coach in Nebraska. A lot of what makes me a coach as it relates to just my principles and how I want my teams to play are very much aligned with Nebraska soccer and Husker soccer and John Walker. And I attribute a lot of the success I've had as a coach to a mentor early who was able to show me the way. So that would be the first thing. I think the second thing is watch the game at all levels. You know, I was very fortunate yesterday. I spent about 90 minutes with Vlatko Ananoski, who obviously was the women's national team coach and now is the head coach of the KC Current. I spent 90 minutes talking with him. We were talking a lot about development. And you know, I think that, you know, one thing that we had spoken about and he had mentioned about himself, which is absolutely true, is he's coached at every single level. He's coached. I coached against him in youth soccer in Kansas City before, you know, he went on to bigger things. But he's coached indoor professional soccer. He's coached community college soccer. He's coached, obviously, professional soccer. And so I think that in order to really understand coaching and to really understand development, I think you need to know all layers. You know, there's never been a better time in history, as you know, to watch high level soccer and to watch high level academy soccer. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find academy highlights. You can watch the under-18s at Man United. You can watch, you know, so much soccer and also, you know, different cultural trends. You know, I mean, just so again, I think being a good student of the game. So I think first and foremost, find a great mentor. Secondly, immerse yourself in the studying of the game and come up with your own philosophies and how you want to play. And how you want to develop those players to do the things that you want to do systematically. I think the third thing also is to never forget it's a game. You know, I think club soccer is very competitive, even at youth level. And there's a lot of, you know, it's not just as simple as laying cones anymore and showing up on game day. Like there's a lot of things in the background. There's a lot of noise in the background with, you know, with the pay to play system, and which is necessary. Okay. In this country, I mean, regardless of what anybody says, it's necessary. But I think sometimes you have to be able to take a breath, take a step away and understand why you're doing it. And the why is because you love soccer, you know, and it's easy to fall out of love with things if it's constantly, if there's stress always involved. And so, you know, I consistently try to do that. So I think those are the three big things: a mentor, you know, studying the game, being a student of the game, and not falling out of love with the game because of the stresses that are a part of it, depending upon the level that you coach.
Right. Yeah. And I think that almost kind of relate to even, funny enough, I almost say the same thing to players that I talk to and that I coached, or pretty much the three things that you've kind of highlighted almost go to four players, and maybe the first one might not be a mentor as of like, you know, to talk to, but it's more of like a players that you wanted to be like. Because from what I can see, fortunately with like a lot of American kids, is that when you ask them, you know, who's their favorite player, a lot of them probably won't tell you, you know, who they are, or they will just use, you know, the big names like Ronaldo, Messi, or Alex Morgan, when usually they even play the different position than those individuals. So it looks, and the second one is like the student of the game. They just have to watch more soccer.
Yes.
I mean, it looks like a lot of them, it's, you know, if they only do soccer when they're practicing, they don't really know, you know, how to play with the ball or what to do with the ball, because, you know, it's almost foreign to them. And it looks like the last one is, you know, just enjoy it. That's why I kind of do this podcast and watch a lot of soccer, is that I almost take the business aspect out of it and just enjoy watching it. So it looks like your coaching is almost the same thing as for players to do.
Yeah, I mean, I tell my kids all the time. I mean, I posted something on Twitter a few days ago with the Gold Cup final and said, listen, I mean, it's if you have ambition to play internationally, you have to watch international soccer. It's the same thing. If you have a desire to play college soccer at a high level, you absolutely must watch college soccer at a high level. You know, you have to watch these things. And again, there's never been a better time in history to have access to this without actually being at the event, right? I mean, there's just so many different methods to watch the game. And I mean, and there's so many ways to watch. Now you have to watch full game, watch highlights and things of that nature. And I attribute a lot of my kids' ability is to watching. I mean, my kids watch a tremendous amount of soccer, and it's not driven by me. It's just that's what they're into. And I think that they see the game differently, both of them, because of the amount of soccer they watch. And I think it's probably something that's not, something that, again, if it's my kids or whoever it is, I mean, something that's very, very important. And I think it's something that's probably not necessarily bought into at the level that it should, as a, from a player standpoint.
Yes. Yeah. And that's probably, you see me online, you know, giving away tickets and forcing kids to come with me to games just for that reason, because we've seen just having City now an actual professional, you're starting to see a lot more kids going to those games, and it looks like they have that excitement. So they're finally getting to see, you know, live. So now they get to kind of push themselves to strive to be like those. I think for this part of the podcast, it's more of the lightweight conversation. So growing up, what would you say is like your top two players that you watch growing up that you kind of idolize or wanted to be like?
Yeah, I mean, Paul Scholes, without a doubt, is my favorite player of all time. I just think his game was incredible. I mean, I think that, you know, I think when you, and again, as a Man United fan, people always ask, well, you know, how'd you turn into a Man United fan? Well, when I was growing up, and, you know, in my early time in St. Louis and even overseas, I mean, really, there was not, the Premier League wasn't what it is today, where all these games.
Yeah, it was not much, right?
I mean, I remember literally, you know, videotaping games on a VHS, you know, and I became a Man United fan because the only thing that was on TV that was related was Man United and Arsenal games, because that was their kind of, that was a dynasty between those two. And I fell in love with Paul Scholes. I would just think that is what a player, man. And I would say probably, you know, my second favorite player of all time was probably Ronaldinho. You know, I mean, I felt like when you think about passion and a love for the game, and you can see someone who's that skilled and that incredible of a total package, athleticism, skill. But I mean, the man always had a smile on his face, and I just always appreciated that about him. He always looked like he was having fun. And so I think those two players were my favorite. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. And I can remember Ronaldinho. I think that he was one of the players that I fall in love with the sports, because I grew up in Paris. So when he plays for PSG, fortunate enough to go to Parc des Princes to watch him and J.J. Okocha play. So those two with, you know, smiling all the time, dribbling, those were pretty much the two that pretty much turned me into this soccer, I don't know, soccer fan, you will call it.
Yeah, yeah. What a fortunate time to be in Paris, you know, to see those sorts of, I mean, just so incredible. I tell my one of my son's best friends, Lennon Lucian, his dad is Peter Lucian. I don't know if you know Peter, but Peter... He was he's the first assistant at FC Dallas now on the MLS team. But Lennon played with Elijah on that pre-MLS team. But Peter, they're from Paris as well, and I mean, he played for Atletico Madrid, and actually they might have played at PSG as well, Peter. But I told him all the time, man, I've never been to Paris, but man, I'd love to go to a PSG game. I think it must be pretty incredible.
You'll have to before the owners decide to move it, because I think there's talk that, I guess there's a dispute with the owners of the Parc des Princes to move it to Stade de France. Mm. So, matter of time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yes. So, and that will bring him to more like the MLS now. So, knowing that we have Sporting KC and St. Louis, where everybody knows, you know, all the stuff that happens with, what would you say, like, but for Messi and have Messi now in the MLS, and that kids in the US are able to see him pretty much live in our TV, how do you see, you know, his presence now with the MLS, and bring that, you know, the Messi media to the rest of the country and the world?
Yeah, I mean, I tip my hat to David Beckham. I mean, David Beckham had an incredible impact on the league when he came. I mean, he came at when he was still playing at a very high level. I mean, let's not forget that, right? You know, and growing up as a United fan too, I love David Beckham. I thought he was incredible, right? And but what he's been able to do at Miami is, it may be end up being more impactful than what he did for the Galaxy and for the MLS early. And I say that because, I mean, Beckham was a phenomenal player, but he ain't Lionel Messi. I mean, Messi is arguably the best player that's ever laced up cleats, right? And so for the younger generation to see Messi is next level. And I think, again, it's, you know, I think they're also showing that this isn't really retirement league anymore. I mean, I think there's top players in this league, and, you know, yes, they may be going towards the end of their highest level from a playing standpoint. I mean, if you could drop Messi in any team in the world and he would do incredible things. And so the fact that he's chosen to come here and represent the MLS, and you got guys like Jordi Alba and Busquets and Luis Suarez. I mean, they're talking about Luka Modric possibly. I mean, these are top players, you know? And so, yeah, I think it's incredible what they've done. And I hope it happens throughout the whole league. You know, I know that every MLS club probably has a different place as to how they want to spend and who they want to recruit and what they want their brand to look like. But I mean, the more Luka Modric's and David Beckham's that we can, and Lionel Messi's that we can have in this league, the better, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah, I did say that if Luka Modric even go to Miami, I will be going to a game. Because he's one of those, you know, quiet midfielders that pretty much does all the work, just no. And, well, he did win a Ballon d'Or, so he's almost next level. And I did say to a lot of people, too, that David Beckham is not taking, he's not getting enough credits for what he's doing. Because he's pretty much taking, you know, the European style of ownership, which I've been complaining about a little bit, where, you know, the owners of, you know, professional teams maybe don't have the same drive. Like David Beckham is like the love of the sport, so he just will go 110%. And it looks like business is almost next step when it comes to it. So I think that's why he's been able to bring, you know, all these big players, knowing that it took him 2 years to persuade Messi to come. Not many owners will take that much time to chase one player.
I mean, I think you can argue, and again, this may be controversial, and I'm not no MLS expert, but I would say that David Beckham will go down as one of the most influential people in American soccer history.
I will, even though he's a Man United player, I will put that 110%, because what he's been able to do just now, and I think he even said that Zlatan was the reason why Zlatan went to the MLS was David Beckham. So I totally agree with that one.
Yeah, being in Kansas City and being fortunate to have an MLS club here, fortunate for my son, my two boys, and also as a soccer fan, you know, I hope it has a ripple effect throughout the whole league. I mean, I hope we start seeing, you know, these high-level players not just go to Inter Miami because of the project that David Beckham's doing, but come to Sporting Kansas City, go to St. Louis City. I mean, again, you know, kind of spread the tent across, because I mean, what a joy it is for young people like your kids and my kids to be able to watch live soccer, which is different than watching on the TV, but to watch live soccer, and not just live soccer, but live soccer with, I mean, icons of the game playing in it. Just, yeah.
Yeah, we're waiting for LAFC and Euro Lloris to come since he's our French national former goalkeeper. So that's the one we have checked in the box. So what would you say, just kind of what, I guess the last few questions of what drive you now to outside of, you know, kids and soccer, the love of soccer, is there anything that you have a goal, you know, to kind of bring soccer to the next level on your side, even though it might be a small part, but a big part from where we stand?
Yeah, I mean, listen, my at this stage of my career, I mean, my main goal is to have the biggest impact that I can possibly have within a large ecosystem. I mean, club soccer, youth soccer in general is massive. You know, it's a massive business now, and I have a passion for helping young people get into college. I have a passion for helping young people be prepared to play college soccer at a high level on day one. You know, and I want to continue to try to do that to the highest ability that I can. I mean, I was recently started a nonprofit camp company that serves players throughout the entire country, and it basically hosts these very, very high level college ID camps, and we do some college recruiting consulting and things of that nature. So a lot of my time is spent on that outside of my roles and responsibilities at KC Athletics. But yeah, I mean, I just want to continue to have an impact on kids and to be able to provide them opportunities that maybe they would not have had if it wouldn't have had me play a small part in it. And really just, you know, I want to continue to support my kids and watch them play and be a fan of theirs. And lastly, probably try to continue to help educate parents as to what their roles and responsibilities are within the game as well. Right. And, you know, I mean, we live in a very competitive world, and when you play soccer at the highest level, you've got, you know, parents that love their kids very much. And sometimes their love is directed in ways that maybe could be more positive and can be more influential for the player and not so detrimental. So helping provide education on that too, right? Because I can kind of see it from two different lenses. I can see it as a dad who has kids that play at a high level, and I can see it as a coach who coaches at a decently high level. So yeah, just to have as much of an impact in the game as I can.
Awesome. So yes, I think that parent side one, that's a very big one. And I do have a lot of friends also that kind of burn out with that,
yeah.
You know, having different spectrum of parents. And I think that's on my part, that's why a lot of my kids have not gone to clubs, any sports clubs just yet, based on, you know, them asking for it to join. That's pretty much how I've kind of do the whole parenting thing. And if they want to play club soccer, Elijah asked to it, because he was starting to get a little bored with CYC.
Yeah.
So that's where we then joined Lou Hughes. The girls decided swimming, you know, summer was a little slow. So then we put them into those sports where then it makes it a lot more fun for us, because it's, you know, we just get to enjoy
the
sport. Yes. So last but not least, could you plug maybe some of the project that you just mentioned? Maybe after this, if you could just send me a few of those information on what you're working on outside of your club work, I can definitely spread that out. Is there anything else that you're working or that's in the process that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, my focus is really on on, you know, obviously with being the CNL director of KC Athletics, is it firmly established KC Athletics as the destination place for high level soccer players in Kansas City. So if you are playing, if you're a high level female athlete in the Kansas City market and you want to play college soccer and have opportunities to get into YNT camps, and if you want to play internationally, if you want to play professionally, like, I want you to play athletics. And so right now we're doing a lot of work on building a high level staff, and we've got some great coaches that work for us, and I work alongside some very great individuals who are not just good coaches but good people. I think it starts with people, right? You got to find good people, you know. So really try to continue to enhance KC Athletics as much as we can, and to build not just a very strong ECNL club in the Midwest, but build one that can compete at the national level. And then also the camp company, I'm spending a lot of time, you know, raising money for the camp company. I mean, the camps that we provide are not only very, very high level as it relates to the amount of schools and the quality of schools that come in to recruit at these camps, but we also set it at a price point that is much cheaper than any of our competition. And we do that because it's not about It's not about the company making money. It's about providing incredible opportunities to kids, and ones that are affordable and ones that can change their lives. And so that's what we're trying to do. So, I'll certainly send you that information. It's, on the website and whatnot, but yeah, that's what we're doing. And then, like I told you prior to the call, I'm chasing my kids all over the place. Both my boys have practiced tonight at Swope. So I'll head down there and, get to be a dad and not a coach for a few hours, which is always nice.
Yes. And I mean, I think that was one that just we dialogue and also have that connections was that, yeah, we have quite a kids and sports and activity. And I think especially one of those things that I kind of appreciate about you also is that, and I can almost kind of relate, is, you know, have the drive with the kids, teaching kids soccer, but not only soccer, but, you know, life lessons. And even though we almost have different religions, we're still showing that, you know, the priority on, you know, family, friends, and the people around us first. So that's one of those things that definitely appreciate from you. I know that I've been in Kansas City, you've been in San Luis, and we always missed each other.
Yeah.
With your crazy schedule. So definitely looking forward to one of those days where we're in the same place, same time.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, I'd love to take you and your family out for dinner, for lunch. If you guys make the trip up for the city sporting game, that'd be great. And
well, I think now you guys get two, this year you get two of them.
Yeah.
Regular season, so yes.
Well, I got two shots of taking you and your family out for dinner, though, so that would be great. And I want to thank you, too. I think the work you're doing is great. I mean, I think having a strong voice in St. Louis, continues to bring people into that stadium and create an understanding of what soccer looks like on all these different levels. I think you're doing great work, and we need more people like you. So big shout out to you and what you're trying to build on your podcast and on your social media stuff. I think you do a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not hard or work. I'm just enjoying it. I talk about soccer all the time. So I think this was almost the better alley to talk about it and just leave my wife alone for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate it.
We share that in common as well. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Excellent. Yes. So much. I definitely appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more, and we will plan accordingly so we can have our families together and have a meal.
That sounds great. Perfect. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. All right. Thank you for your time, and good luck chasing your kids around.
Appreciate you. You too.
All right. Take care.
Bye.